First Timothy chapter 6. We're asking the question this morning, what is it that you are, what are you pursuing in your life and why? What is it that you are after? What is really important? What's the priority of your life? What do you spend your time doing? What is it that you spend your money doing? What are the things that really affect the decisions that you're making? What controls your thoughts? When people look at you and observe you in the way that you are living, what do they conclude is the most important thing in your life? Amen. It's pretty sobering, isn't it? We're not careful. We're after things that won't count in eternity. And we are to give ourselves in the pursuit of the things of God. Amen. That's why this morning we were talking about pursuing a godly life. Do you know that we can admire people, and we often do? And I mentioned this morning Brother James Martin. Many of you have been around this church for a long time. You admired people like Sister Saylor. And a lot of us admired people like Brother Huff. And other people that maybe not a part of this church, but people that you have looked to, you have admired them for their walk with God, their closeness with God, and with their God, using them and His hand upon their life. And, you know, that didn't just happen to them. God didn't just decide just to pour His Spirit out upon them randomly. There was an effort that they were putting forth. I can remember that when Sister Saylor would stand up and give a testimony, it was because she had spent the whole week meditating on a little verse of Scripture. And she would stand up and expound upon that, and we would just think, wow, that was wonderful. What a challenge that was. And what encouragement that was. But it was because there was this pursuit in her life of God and the things of God. Amen. So I'm asking you the question here again tonight. And from 1 Timothy, we gave you this morning, or just pointed out in the Scripture, some things that are important for the person who's pursuing a godly life. You want to be a person that's living a life that's pleasing to God. Not as concerned about what man thinks, not as concerned about what the world thinks. But you're really concerned with, am I pleasing God? That's the way that a Christian ought to live. Amen. We ought to be living our life to please God and pursuing a lifestyle that is pleasing to the Lord. And I trust that the Lord will speak to your heart here tonight. Here's where He draws the contrast, I guess you might say, in verse 11 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Because He mentions all these other things that people get wrapped up in, that they're pursuing money and riches and the things of this world, and how that all those things are like a snare, they're a trap, and don't follow after those things. But then in verse 11 He says, but thou, O man of God, you do things different. You think different. You live different. You are pursuing things different than others are pursuing. But thou, man of God, or thou, woman of God, or thou, young person, or whatever category you're in, thou, O man of God, flee these things. We took a good while this morning talking about the fact that as a Christian who's following and pursuing God and pursuing a godly lifestyle, you have to get enough strength of character to be able to say no. There have to be some things that you have to just turn and run from them. And flee from these things. That's what He says to young Timothy. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Tells him he has to run from some things. Don't even try to think you're a match for the enemy. Just turn and run the other way, because you can't allow yourself to be put in a position Joseph was in, to have to run from Potiphar's wife. But he did run. And he saved himself from sure destruction. But not only the ability to say no, the ability to flee and to run, but also the things that we should be pursuing. And we went through some of these this morning, and I don't want to belabor the points here, but I just want to give just a little rundown here on these points before I move on to a couple more. But you're to follow after, or the pursuit of your life should be after, righteousness. That's what it says here. But instead, pursue or follow after these things: righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Allow those to be the things that you're really pursuing. You're after it with your whole heart. Amen. Chasing after them with your whole heart. Desiring to be righteous, which just means you do the right thing. You live. Your outward conduct and lifestyle is a lifestyle that's pleasing to God. Righteousness and godliness, that has to do with your heart and your motives. Not only what you do in righteousness, but why you do it and what motivates you to do what you do. You need to get your heart right so that your lifestyle will be right. Amen. Righteousness and godliness. Pursue the things that are pleasing to the Lord, not pleasing to yourself. Then the third thing was faith. A life that lives, a person that's living their life seeking to be a godly person is a person who's going to completely and entirely trust God. Amen. Put your trust in the Lord. Your confidence is in God. Amen. And then love. Pursue love. And that's just loving, selflessness, sacrificial, that you care about the needs of everyone. You're concerned about the needs of the work of God and the church and the body of Christ. And you're concerned about the needs of others. And you exemplify that kind of a spirit. You genuinely love. And you're willing to sacrifice to prove that. Amen. And then patience. And the word there just means endurance. Able to go through trials and difficulty without wavering. You just hold steady. No matter what you go through, it doesn't stop you. It doesn't discourage you to the point that you're willing to give up. You've got this ability to stick with it, to persevere. If you're going to really be a person that's a godly person, you're going to have to understand that God is with you and He's faithful through trials and troubles, and He'll bring you through that. And not only will He bring you through it, but He'll bring you out on the other side even better off. Amen. Glory to God. Pursuing after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Meekness is not weakness. I know that we've always said that. Meekness is not weakness. It is strength. But it's strength that's under control. Amen. Those are some things to be pursuing in your walk, your desire. Is that things that are in your heart and on your heart? Are those some of the things that you want to pursue after? Now let's go on in the text here in verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. The only fight that I can ever describe as good is the one that you can win. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. And really it's describing someone that's in a struggle, someone that's in a battle for the right, and they're striving and straining and they're giving it their very best. Do you know that the work of God and your relationship with God deserves your best? If you're just carefree and careless about your walk with the Lord, then you're never going to really be able to grow and pursue the things of God that He has for you. But instead, in the struggle, striving, straining, reaching, always pressing forward, longing for more that God has for you. Why? Why should we put forth such a great deal of energy and effort in this struggle of faith? Why should we? Well, it says that we are to lay hold on eternal life. We should, because all of these things have eternal consequences. They have eternal consequences. And it just simply means that you need to get a grip on this in your life. You need to get a hold of this. That it's worth the fight. It's worth the struggle. It's worth putting forth my very best and giving my very best to God and to the work of God, because these are eternal issues. And what could be more important? I think that all of us, we really need to be reminded. I know for young people, it's really hard to think about eternity. But the older that you get, the easier it is for you to have a little bit more of a concept of what it means for your life and your days and your years to be kind of quickly clicking off and coming to the end of your life, and understanding that eternity is all that really matters. It's what we do for Jesus that matters. It's all because of Him. It's all because of the things of God, the Word of God, the ministry that He's given to you, that He's given to me, that we should strive, we should strain, we should give this our best, because it is an eternal matter. Amen. Amen. Why should we be so concerned about those that are lost and those that need to hear the gospel? Why should we put our best into the work of God and the work of the kingdom of God? We should strive, because eternity is weighing in the balances. You hear about different ones leaving this life, passing away on a weekly basis. Friends, loved ones, people that we're connected with, associated with, or we hear about that are dying. Every one of them with a soul, an eternal soul, every one of them slipping out of this mortal life into eternity. And many of them leave this world and they don't know God. They don't know, they're not serving God. They're not living for God. And so they're leaving this life not ready for eternity. So we should be giving of our time and our energy and our life and give our very best to this, because it is an eternal matter. Amen. Notice here in verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God. This was a serious matter. I give you a charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the fourth thing that I'll mention here tonight. And that this is a charge that was given to young Timothy that every Christian needs to take to heart. And that is to keep the commandments of God, to keep the Word of God. Amen. As a Christian, you need to become a person of truth. Amen. If you're pursuing the things of God, you have to be a person of the Word of God. Amen. Everything in your life should be measured by the Scripture. Everything you do, everything, every activity, every action, everywhere you go, everything you associate with, all of your life needs to be measured by the truth of God's Word. How long are we to keep this kind of a commitment? Well, he said, until the appearing of Jesus Christ, until the Lord comes. We are in the pursuit of the things of God. And if you want to be a godly person, then you have to be a person of the Word of God. Because one day you'll stand before God and everything, we're all going to be judged. And everything is going to be judged, the Bible says, according to truth. Amen. It's not, you know, well, my mom and dad were Christians, or I went to church all the time, or I did this in the church. None of those things are going to be the real question. The question is, did you live your life, and can you measure up to the truth of God's Word? It's a high standard. It's a high calling, but it's what we have been commanded. And Timothy was given a charge before God. Keep the commandment and live by the commandment of God. Be a person of the Word of God. I've had this word on my mind, and we've been talking about, last week we talked about pursuing souls and how important that is. And then this week, pursuing a godly life. This afternoon, I got to thinking about this, because whenever a person decides, I'm going to pursue after the things of God. And when you begin to pursue after God, you discover something that's an amazing and a wonderful thing. And that is that before you ever pursued Him, God was already pursuing you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that an amazing and a wonderful thought? Amen. That before you ever even had a thought about God, God was pursuing you. Amen. Hallelujah. What a great message of the grace of God to every one of us, that God cares about us and that He's pursuing you. Some of you may know how it feels to be lost and under conviction and being pursued by the presence of God. I've witnessed this and even experienced it as a young person. Just the feeling of, you know, that I needed to serve God, and that I was constantly being reminded of the fact that I was away from God and not serving the Lord, and that God was pursuing me. Hallelujah. Now, if you've ever read Tozer, you know he's way up there in his thinking. Here's what Tozer said about this. He said, the impulse to pursue God originates with God. Wow. You got to think about that one for a while. The impulse to pursue God originates with God. But the outworking of that impulse is our following hard after Him. Amen. And all the time we are pursuing Him, He was already in pursuit of us. Praise God. Hallelujah. So when you turn toward God and encourage those that are wrestling over their soul and trying to decide, should I really serve Jesus? Should I really turn to the Lord and become a Christian? You can always remind them of the Word of God, and that God is that God's going to be waiting right there, and He's longing for you to turn to Him, and He's been pursuing you. How long? Let me read you a few verses. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. Amen. Amen. It all started with God. This pursuit began with Him pursuing after you and me. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Hebrews 9 and 26, for then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now in the end of the world, He hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. I'm going to read you three New Testament verses that use that phrase, the foundation of the world. I just read you the one from Hebrews 9 and 26. Here's another one from 1 Peter 1 and 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. And then Revelation 13 and 8. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life. Of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. What's it all? What is this? What is that phrase, the foundation of the world? What's it describing? Well, it's talking about eternity past. We think of eternity future, but God is not, He's not confined by time like you and I are. As I mentioned in a service back, a few services, time was created for our purpose. And He's given us a certain amount of allotment of time, but God is not confined by time. God is eternal in the heavens. Amen. He's the self-existent one. Glory to God. Amen. And from the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God was slain. And from the foundation of the world, He foreordained that you be saved. From the foundation of the world, He suffered, it says, that we might benefit from His sacrifice. In eternity past, how long has he been planning and preparing and pursuing after you and me? Longer than you can even conceive of. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Before the earth was created, before the angels were created, or for anything else was in existence, there was this glorious plan that we can't even conceive of, and we'll spend eternity in the future, learning and coming into a greater understanding of the plan of the ages of Jesus Christ to bring salvation to all the world, to whosoever will. And so God was pursuing you before time, before anything else was created. There was this glorious, wonderful plan in the mind of God, and that was that you could be saved. Hallelujah. It was conceived in eternity past, before the angels, before the earth was created. It was this plan of the ages. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, the cross, the atonement, the shed blood, none of that was just, just an afterthought by God. It was His plan that He made before the worlds existed. Hallelujah. And every one of us, whenever you turn to God, when you make that one step toward God, then God has already been planning for the ages past to sweep you into salvation and to provide forgiveness for you and deliverance for you. So why not pursue after the things of God with your whole heart? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God is a seeker, isn't He? We're to be seekers after God. But before we were ever seekers after God, God was seeking after you and me. Yeah, hallelujah. All throughout the Scripture, you'll see that. I just picked out a few places here in the Scripture where you can see the revelation of this God who's pursuing us. Amen. Glory to God. You know what it is to be chased, pursued? I thought of this. I know this is a little bit crazy and humorous, but as a kid, the school that I attended, elementary school that I attended, was just a couple streets over, so we walked to school. There was a man who lived across the street and to the left corner on the corner, and he had two German Shepherd dogs, and so my folks had always told us, you know, don't go across their lot. Don't go across their lot. It was the shortcut. It was the best way to go. But don't go across there, the lot. They had two German Shepherd dogs, and one of them, I'll never forget it, because I was so scared to death as a kid of this dog. The dog's name was Stubby, because somehow its tail had got cut off, and it just had a little short stub. But it was a ferocious dog. But one day, I got all brave and decided, I'm not going to go around and go all that long distance around. I'm going to take this short and go through that back lot, and I'm just going to get home quicker. And I did that. And when I started across that lot, I had got out about halfway across that back lot, and Stubby got after me. And I'm telling you what, I was so scared. I was running for all of my might, and I tripped and I fell. And I was expecting the dog to pounce on me and start eating me. That's what I expected to happen. But after I laid there for a few minutes, and he never did attack me, I looked up and he was off doing something else that dogs do. And I got up and walked on home. And that's a crazy little story. But if you're lost, if you're away from God, and the Bible says that you are an enemy of God. You're an adversary of God. You're away from God. I know it's kind of hard for us to conceive of that we're, because of our sin, we're the enemy of God, the Scripture says. But at the same time, the plan of the ages was, it demonstrates His great love that we can't even conceive of, that He was always pursuing us and chasing us. Always after us. Amen. To bring us to salvation. And I've witnessed this many, many times over the years. We need to pray, oh God, send that kind of Holy Ghost conviction into our church services so when sinners visit this place that they're immediately overcome by the guilt of their sin and the conviction of the Spirit would just settle in upon them and they would recognize that they're away from God. And if they would just take that one turn and turn toward God, they would no longer be the enemy, but instead they'd be the recipient of this wonderful grace. Amen. That was not an afterthought. It was not God making up a plan for salvation when man fell into sin. It was a plan from eternity past that you could know Him and you could be saved. So now, the more you pursue him, the more he is pursuing you. The more that you draw nigh unto him, he's drawing nigh unto you. That's the way this relationship goes. And it's always on God's side. He's always the one that takes the two or three steps when you make your one. You just make a little effort toward God and repent and call upon the Lord. And oh, the wonderful, glorious grace of God that is this deluge of the plan that's been for all of these many, 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 many generations in times past. Then you become the recipient of that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, he's a seeker. We're to be seekers after God and pursuing the things of God. But just be reminded of the fact that God himself is pursuing you, and he's pursuing the lost. Those that you're concerned about and I'm concerned about that are away from God. Oh, he's after them. He's pursuing them. He's dealing with them. And especially when you're praying and seeking the Lord and bringing them before the throne of God, God is dealing with them. God is speaking to them. He's pursuing them in so many different ways, ways that you can't even imagine. Hallelujah. God is a seeker. Amen. Scripture reveals him as a continual pursuit. Amen. John 4:23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. He is seeking. Psalm 14:2, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. God is watching and God is looking and observing and searching for those. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. God is searching, looking, and always his eyes are searching for those who will just turn their heart toward God. Just turn their heart toward the Lord. In the book of Luke, you see all those wonderful examples there in Luke 15. First of all, the shepherd that leaves the 99 and goes out and seeks that one lost sheep. And also in Luke 15, those three different examples that are given there. The woman who loses her valuable lost coin and she calls her neighbors in and rejoices because she is swept and searched and laid everything else aside so she could seek and find that one lost coin. In Luke 15, there's the lost sheep and the lost coin. And then the lost son, the prodigal son. The father who's always looking, always searching. And he sees the prodigal come over the horizon. And he runs to meet him and runs to greet him. You can't be a Bible reader without seeing that God is a seeker and he is in pursuit of the lost. Hallelujah. He wants to save the lost more than you can even comprehend that. Sometimes you pray, Lord, almost as if you're trying to persuade God to save them. You don't have to persuade God to save the lost. His plan has been from eternity past to bring them to salvation. And to deliver them from their sin. You need to pray that God will speak to them. And that their heart would be open. And their resistance to God would come down. And that they would turn to the Lord. And then find the help and the grace of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Much more than you ever wanting the lost to be saved. Is the longing and the searching and the pursuing heart of God. It's after those that are lost. Praise God. Amen. James 4:8, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh unto you. Praise God. That describes the relationship that we can have. If you want to have if you really are want to pursue a godly life, you're not going to be in this on your own. This is not going to be your own personal self-effort. If you'll draw nigh to God, God's right there. Amen. Amen. If you'll seek the Lord, God is there. If you'll get into the Word of God, God will talk to you. through His Word. If you'll open your heart up to the Lord and be obedient to the things of God, God will bless you. God will work in your life. He's right there, always willing and always desiring to help you in your need. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're pursuing a godly life. But tonight I just wanted to remind you that you have a God that we can't even imagine, we can't even conceive of. His love and this glorious plan that's been provided for us, that if we'll just make one step, one effort toward God, then we'll receive so much more than we could ever imagine. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. For those in this service tonight, maybe you're unsaved or away from God, I want you to know that God's pursuing you. He's chasing after you. He's talking to you. He's dealing with you. I thank God that He does. I'm so grateful that as a young person that God dealt with me, and I was so miserable and convicted and I couldn't find any happiness or any joy in anything. I just got so miserable that I had to come to the place that I was willing to say, okay, God, whatever you want, then Lord, I'm willing. When I came to that place, then I experienced the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Then I experienced His love, His will, and His direction, and His promises being a reality to me. Oh God, we thank You that You're in pursuit of the lost. And we thank You, Lord, that You're dealing with us tonight throughout this day. And we're so grateful, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for the wonderful gift of salvation, for the hope that we have in You. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God.